We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, I'm Hannah Brown, and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith, and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? In case you haven't heard, I have a new book out called Mistakes We Never Made. This is my first novel, and I am so proud of this book, you guys. It is available for pre-order now. It comes out May 7th. This is like my first real dream come true. A lot of the things in my life, even this podcast, I couldn't have ever dreamt up years and years ago, but writing a novel has always been something that I've wanted to do. So I am so proud of this book, and I would love for you guys to support me. Go out and buy the book. I am actually going to do a podcast here in the next few weeks talking all about the process, but wanted to make sure you guys knew you can get your hands on it soon, and there's some signed copies available. I'll be sure to put in the description a link for you guys to be able to figure out where you can buy it, what's best for you. And I'm going on tour soon. So check that out on my Instagram to see all the stops that I'm making here in the US. But I love it so much, and I know you guys will too. If you love a good, fun, light beach read that has a lot of romance, but also some depth, this is your book. Check it out. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Better Tomorrow. I'm so excited for our guest today. We have Demi Tivo here. Thank you so much for coming on
Thanks
the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Hannah.
I am so pumped because I have been following your journey for a long time now, well before like you, I mean, well, I guess when everybody started following you, like when you became Miss Universe, because I also did pageants. And so like you're kind of like my Miss Universe.
Aww.
I really like followed the whole journey.
That's
and
so sweet.
I just want to kind of talk about that first, because that's where I feel like really connected to you.
Yeah.
Because I had like my own experience in pageants, but I'd really mm-hmm. like to know like what made you even decide to pursue getting into pageants and have the dream to be Miss mm-hmm. Universe.
Hang on. I forget. You were 2018, right?
Yes.
Did you compete with Sarah, or were you after Sarah?
Yeah, I competed with Sarah.
Sarah, okay.
Yeah.
Sarah was my roommate, right? So she was my
Wait,
Miss.
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so she
okay.
was my Miss USA, which
okay.
is so sweet. And we're still such great friends. Anyway, so so I was there then when you, I mean, there's so many girls, but and I don't think we actually got to meet,
no, I don't
but,
think so.
But I was there because.
Yeah. You were definitely
yeah,
there,
yeah.
but I think I probably like said hello, but in like a passing. Yeah.
Well, you know, Hannah, in South Africa, where I'm from, if you hear the messed up accent, that's home for me, or, you know, where my roots are from, where I'm from, shaped so much of who I am today. I remember watching the Miss South Africa pageant as like a teeny tiny little girl with my mom. It always used to be in December. And
is it a big deal in South Africa?
Yeah, I would say okay. It is. It is actually. Like we love like our Miss South Africa is big. Our sport, especially our rugby, is big. And the country is actually super supportive, which is awesome.
So awesome.
But you know, one thing that I've appreciated about Miss South Africa is growing up. As a little girl, I just saw them as princesses, yes, right?
Same.
Crowns and tiaras and big dresses. And I'm such a girly girl, so I don't really look like it today, but I actually am.
I've seen you in your sparkles.
Okay, perfect. <Yeah. laughs> You believe me. And as I grew up and as I matured, I realized, man, like I don't know if I really want to be Miss South Africa one day, but I want to be a Miss South Africa type of woman.
Yeah.
I love just the impact that each and every Miss South Africa every year got to have in her community. And back then that was like before social media. So we would like watch the reality TV show of like the pageant and the lead up, and they would like go and visit,
oh, you know, cool.
the contestants' like hometowns and follow their journey. And, you know, you kind of follow their journey in the newspapers and see what they're doing. And I just thought it was so cool that they got to use their platform for a lot of times something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And it can be such a self-centered platform, of course. But I think what really drew me to it was that it gave girls from anywhere and everywhere with and without, you know, degrees or work experience, the opportunity to stand for something that they loved. And that was something that really drew me to it. Didn't always grow up thinking, oh, one day I want to be Miss South Africa. But I feel like for the most part of my life, I felt like that was the type of woman I wanted to grow up to be one day. A woman that, you know, other people can hopefully look to for some form of inspiration, that someone can look to for a helping hand, can look to as, you know, just a leader in their mm-hmm. community. And I think that's something that I always strive to be, and failed miserably way too many times.
I would not say that, but yeah.
And after education, I had the opportunity to go to college. We called university in South Africa, and get my degree. That was something that was very important to me, and I'm grateful to have been able to do. But as soon as I graduated, I entered Miss South Africa. And you know, it was in South Africa, it's such a long process. Like you compete. I don't know how it was for you with, especially with, I mean, you guys have like every state.
Yes. And
so it's a long process. It was like an 8-month process just leading up to competing for Miss South Africa.
I think it depends on like what state, like the timing. I think we had November. We had 5 months.
Yeah.
Five, six months.
It's a long time, right? Yeah. If you're working, if you're studying, like
totally.
There's so much you have to put on hold. I mean, financially, some of the girls that competed for Miss South Africa, you know, like quit their jobs for that time period because it was just too much that was required of them. And so I knew like, wow, if I'm going to do this, like I want to do this one time and well, because I don't know if I'll have the chance to actually, you know, set this amount of time aside to compete. And so I hired a coach and I got trained in how to do my own makeup. And because what a lot of people don't know is they think you just show up and each and every day your hair and makeup is just like done for you and you're got styling and you're no. Like that's kind of all on you. Mm-hmm. Maybe the final night or maybe for like a big sponsorship shoot, you would get your hair and makeup done. Yeah. But for the most part, like, no, you're your own glam team.
I cannot believe it's already spring, and I'm just so excited for spring and summer weather coming up. This winter has been rough for me, so I'm pumped, and you know I love florals and all the ruffles and mixing in my girly pieces into my wardrobe. So spring is definitely my favorite season to dress for and to refresh the styles I already have. One easy way I like to do this is with a good pair of shoes. I love getting a cute little heel or a staple flat to elevate my outfit. Today's episode is actually sponsored by DSW, which I am so excited about because they have definitely been a go-to spot for me over the years. I love it because it's a one-stop shop for all my footwear needs, and they really do have a perfect pair of shoes to fit any occasion during any season. I got the cutest coral Mark Fisher sandals from DSW that I think will be so cute for spring events with like a little sundress or even maybe a jean to make it a little casual. And then I got the coolest sporty sandals from Steve Madden. Not one pair, but two pair. You know, One's more neutral. The other one has a little texture to it. I love these type of sandals because first, they're really comfortable and they are so cute with like a pair of jean shorts when it's going to be like hot as you know what. With a little blouse, you know, we're all about comfort, versatility, but we still want to, you know, look our best. We all know that the right shoe can express your personal style and complete a look, but it can be tough. And let's be real, it can be really expensive. The right shoe and a great price can help you feel your best this spring. So next time you're looking to add the perfect touch to your outfit, remember to check out DSW's collection for fresh finds this spring. A huge thanks to DSW and to all of you supporting Better Tomorrow. DSW has all the must-have shoes for your spring plans. Explore all the latest spring styles at your nearest DSW store or online at dsw.com. You said that English is your second language. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up learning English or did you learn English for the pageant, like to compete?
Yeah, it's a good question. My middle school was, I did all of my like classes in Afrikaans. My high school was solely Afrikaans. My college, university was solely Afrikaans. I graduated, you know, all my classes and lectures were in Afrikaans. So, my family, we speak to each other in Afrikaans. So, in South Africa, you're, obligated to take a second language, and the most spoken language in South Africa is English, but I would say it's probably most people's second language in a way. Even though it's the most spoken language, people can communicate and speak it, but it's not to the extent where I can stand on a stage and like formulate like a really intelligent sounding.
I was thinking about that,
you know,
like it's hard with English being my first language to answer an onstage question about something that is usually people have strong opinions about.
Yes.
How do you come up with a really thoughtful, articulate mm-hmm. answer mm-hmm. in your second language?
Totally wrong, and like somebody, one of my friends would be like, no, I don't think that's what you mean. Yeah. But let me go and Google that for you. So I still mess up so much. But I did grow up obviously speaking English, but it just wasn't in a way where I felt confident to go on a stage with millions of people watching you and formulate an opinion on something that could be pretty controversial, mm-hmm. most probably. So I actually, 3 months before competing at Miss Universe, I told my friends and my family, hey guys, like, we're only going to be speaking English from here on. I was like, I don't really know if you guys are helping me like like win here or yeah. just like getting me deeper into the gutter. I don't know. So I like read English newspapers. I read English books. I watched only English TV shows, English movies. I like only texted with my friends and family in English and some of them just wouldn't even respond. So I like got I don't want to say a speech coach, but I guess like she helped me to pronunciate mm-hmm. better. So definitely something that I put a lot of effort into.
That is so cool to know. That makes me like, I'm very impressed because it's already really hard to prep for something. Yeah. And I can't even imagine prepping for Miss Universe, like that magnitude. To then be learning I could say like a few things in Spanish, but I don't know. I could not like have a conversation like this. I think that is really, that's really, really incredible that you are doing
well,
that.
Well, you know, you could have also asked for a translator, right? They at that time, they would allow you to have a translator. But I just felt like it is a language that I do know. Mm-hmm. I just want to be better at it. I just want to be able to articulate more clearly. And so even though I could have probably asked for a translator, I was like, no, if I'm going to share my message and the things that I care about, I want as many people in the world to be able to understand and to know about this. And unfortunately, South Africa is not a widely spoken language. So, you know, I think I just thought that was important. You know, it's like you only get one chance to go and compete. It literally is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. You never, ever get to compete again because you have to be your country's title holder. Mm-hmm. And it'd be weird to like go back and re-enter Miss South Africa.
Yes. I want to kind of talk about how we've been saying like there's always like a purpose behind like why people are – for a lot of people, there is a purpose behind why they want to represent their country and there's some type of platform they have. Mm-hmm. But I remember your
hashtag Unbreakable mm-hmm. campaign. And you were inspired to talk about this becoming your platform after a really scary experience. Mm-hmm. Can you share more about that yeah. and how you used a really hard moment in your life to really bring a lot of awareness and power to a lot of women as Miss Universe?
Yeah. Shortly after I was crowned Miss South Africa, a couple months later, I was invited to an event as the official Miss South Africa. And I was hopped in my cute little car that was part of my prize package, all dressed up, you know, in a cute cocktail dress, hair, makeup, everything done. And I'm driving down this like big avenue with like three lanes, broad daylight, peak hour traffic. I mean, like 5:30 in the afternoon, literally two blocks away from my apartment, in a great area of town, actually. And this is back in South Africa. And I stopped at the red traffic light. And I mean, I don't know, what do? Check your makeup, mm-hmm. like put pack your bag, you know, just before I was about to turn into the parking lot. And I noticed sometimes I say four, I don't know. In that moment, I just saw a group of men approaching me. And I just felt very uneasy in that moment. And
like they were walking down.
Well, so context matters, right? So yeah. South Africa, peak hour traffic. I mean, you can buy anything from like a beaded flower to a Coca-Cola to a, you know, I don't know, water bottle, whatever. It's like a shopping spree and people going home and catching public transportation and people getting in and out and walking home. And so it's just like a buzz. There's so much mm-hmm. going on, especially in a city like Johannesburg. And so there were a lot of people walking. So it wasn't just three random yeah. guys, right? But I'm a believer. And so I just felt like the Holy Spirit just tugged my heart and just said, like, something's not right here. Like something's off. Mm-hmm. And I paid attention. And I had done numerous self-defense courses. Unfortunately, crime in South Africa is a big issue. And gender-based violence is a big issue that way too many women in my home country deal with on a daily basis. There's, you know, crazy statistics where every 3 hours a woman gets raped in South Africa. So, you know, which is just absolutely awful and just so heartbreaking. And growing up, I'd always been aware of my surroundings. My dad had like forced me to go on safety driving courses, and I knew how to change my own tire in case I got stuck, you know, on the side of the road, or I did these self-defense workshops. And in these workshops, I was taught how to handle a carjack situation, believe it or not. And anyway, so I noticed the guys, I felt uneasy. I felt like something was wrong. And I knew per what I was taught that if they were approaching me, somebody on the other side of the car would also be approaching me on the driver's side. And I looked over, and right on the middle man stood a guy, and he looked me right in the eyes and he walked straight towards me. And I, in that moment, I think I totally knew what was going on because my body just kind of took over. I was driving a manual car. I put it into neutral. I took off my safety belt. I don't even remember telling myself to do it. It was just kind of a sick instinct that just kicked in. And by the time they had gotten to my vehicle, I just looked for it. I didn't make eye contact. I just tried to just be like, oh, please, this is not what's happening. You know, they're just asking for some money to go home, or they're trying to sell me something, mm-hmm. or, you know, you try to convince yourself otherwise, but deep down, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking for it. And the guy on my side of the vehicle eventually reached me and knocked on my window. And I glanced over and I looked for it, and then, you know, trying not to interact. And the next moment he knocked again. And by the time I glanced over, I guess I was probably looking for a weapon of some sort. I glanced over, and by the time I looked back for it, the men on the other side of the vehicle had surrounded my vehicle and was pointing weapons to my head. And that was the moment where I was like, well, I'm out. Yeah. Take my car, take my belongings. That's replaceable. My life is not. Mm-hmm. I surrendered. I got out of the vehicle. And I even remember saying something to the extent of like, take whatever you want. And the guy searched me, he pat me down for any other belongings. He took my phone out of my hand, and, I tried running away, and the guy on my side of the vehicle said, no, he grabbed me by the wrist and said, no, you're going with us. And at that moment, you know, him trying to get me back into the vehicle, trying to get me to go with them, I remembered another thing. You know, the two things that I remember being taught in that moment was never go to the second destination, because whatever is going to happen on some big avenue, 5:30 in the afternoon, broad daylight, is probably not going to get better somewhere downtown in some dark alley with 10 other of their friends. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I remembered was, well, the throat. I tried to run. I couldn't do that. I'm not going to freeze. Like, I have been trained to do this. My brain has thought through this. Like, freezing is not an option mm-hmm. right now. And the last thing I had to do was to try and fight my way out of it. And one of the things that I was taught in some of the self-defense workshop was to punch someone as hard as you can in the throat. And I mean, obviously that's nothing to play around with. It's lethal. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous and only to be used in a life-threatening situation, which I felt like I was in. And so I punched the guy as hard as I could in his throat, and it startled him enough to buy me like a window of opportunity to run away. And you know, Hannah, that was a very traumatic incident. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like seeing a weapon being held to your head, like being surrounded and overpowered by multiple men was very traumatic. But the most dramatic part of that, and I actually have chills thinking about this, the most dramatic part of that whole story was running up that avenue, and it was bumper to bumper. Traffic was like moving slow. People had their windows open. People saw what just happened. Like, they must have seen what just happened, right? And knocking on window after window, and nobody would stop to help. Nobody would stop to help. And I will never forget this one woman's face. Her window was open. She could clearly hear what I was saying. I said, I've just been hijacked. I've just been carjacked. Please, can you help me? Please, can you help me? And I mean, I was like in 6-inch high heels, like a cocktail dress, like made up, like looked very put together, you know, and nobody would stop to help. And that was so traumatic, because I remember looking over my shoulder being like, am I being shot in the back? Like, you've got so much adrenaline pumping, you don't know what's happening. Then I realized, oh my goodness, is one of the cars that I'm asking for help, are they maybe their getaway car? Yeah. Are they part of, like, you know, you can't trust anyone in that moment. Long story short, eventually, as I reached the intersection, a young girl in this old little car pulled over, led me to safety. And before I got to get into her car, it was a really old little car, she had to lean over and like unlock the little car knob. And not in that moment, probably not for a couple months after, I realized just what a tremendous impact that young woman, she's 19 years old, had on my life. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like she changed a big part of the trajectory of my life mm-hmm. by her willingness and obedience to step up in a moment where she felt like she needed to do something, and where she was so brave to step up for somebody else. And that whole carjack incident, I don't know what their intent was. I don't know what their reasoning was. I don't know if they even knew who I was at that time. I have no idea. They were never able to catch the guys. I just knew their intent was bad and was not good. And so I never ever want to victimize myself. But that situation served as a catalyst to me really diving deeper and learning about, I'm going to call it evil, that woman all over my home country face on a daily basis. And it broke my heart for women in my home country. It genuinely broke my heart for women in my home country. And I was like, well, you know, I was given very practical tools and skills on how to navigate a situation. And I saw how these tools and skills like helped me navigate a life-threatening situation. Yeah. And that's where Unbreakable was born. I was like, well, what if we put together a workshop and we teach as many women around South Africa as possible some of the things that I was able to learn? And so we partnered with field experts and psychologists and law enforcement and self-defense experts. And we were able to reach, you know, thousands of women in South Africa, which was so cool and just so sweet how the Lord used that really traumatic situation, a total mess in my life, and turn it into such a great message. I still think that, you know, we need to be willing to allow him to use us, but be careful, because he will.
Yeah.
He will use you. I think something that also impacted me was after I had started sharing about what happened, girls start coming up to me, especially at Unbreakable events, and they would tell me, Demi, you know what, because you shared your story, for the first time, I was able to go and tell my mom about what happened to me 10 years ago. Or I was able to go and file a police report for the first time. And, you know, as people always say, like, let's be a voice for women, but women already have a voice. Sometimes we just have to remind them that they do. And I think we can feel so much more powerful when we come together and when we hold hands and when we stand alongside each other. And so I hope that's something that Unbreakable was able to do.
I think it definitely was. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I know you've probably gone through a lot of healing, but that's just like, I can't imagine how terrifying that could have been at the time. And I also like can't imagine what it'd be like running, trying to find help and seeing people not helping you. And you could have really just been stuck there and how you were able to like find the hope and through, you know, this young girl and like I want to do what she did for me. That's really just powerful. And this is going to, gosh, my fiance is going to be like, Hannah, this is why I tell you to do the jiu-jitsu classes. he's really into jiu-jitsu, and that's like a great form of self-defense.
Yeah.
So when I was like, what if somebody grabbed my arm, what would I do? And like, I know a few things, but I get scared that I would freeze in a situation like that. But I mean, I haven't been in a situation in that capacity, but I have been in situations where, unfortunately, a lot of women have been where, you know, you can just feel like a man's presence or something has happened. And in those moments, I remember I did not freeze. Mm-hmm. I think when you know it's like, this could be really bad.
Yeah.
That voice comes through. But I just commend you for all that you've done through that really horrible situation and like the way that the Lord has used that in so many ways.
I'll just hop in there and say one more thing. I think that's culturally something that we as girls
have been taught to
don't make a scene. Mm-hmm. Don't like stay in your lane, you know, be put together. Just don't make a scene. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the worst things that we can do, because we do have the ability to stand up for ourselves. And, you know, I'm not saying that any of these things will ever be able to, you know, change that situation or prevent an unwanted situation from happening. But something as simple and that's been so empowering for me, the moment somebody told me this, I was like, yes. Why did I feel like I couldn't? Why was I so scared for so long to stay quiet so that somebody else can stay comfortable? Once somebody just gave me that permission kind of to say, no, Demi, like you do not have to get in that elevator. And you know what? If you make an awkward situation, so what?
Yeah.
It's your safety. It's your life. And I have just made a rule, like, I don't get in an elevator by myself with a stranger. I just don't do it. Mm-hmm. I just have given myself the permission that, you know what? I will just wait for the next one and it's going to be fine. Or I remember one day walking down in New York City when I lived there, and I had a guy that was totally following me. And thankfully it was busy. It was broad daylight. I was just walking to go get groceries, and I called him out, and it freaked him out so much that he turned around and walked the other way. Mm-hmm. You know, like just calling it out. And I feel like sometimes just in our own lives, whether that's a physical situation or even a spiritual situation, call that out. Say, listen, absolutely, enemy, I see you and I see what you're trying to do here, and I am not going to allow that. So stop right now, turn around and go the other way, because you have no place here.
I love that. And I found myself doing that in situations where I know I've made other people uncomfortable.
Where my engaged girls, congrats, you're engaged, so am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have been in a really awesome season, but also a season that has been pretty stressful. There's been a lot going on. I can see where some of those things that really keep me grounded, I have not been able to make time for and not know how to do that. And so it's been weighing on me a little bit. And look, we all carry around different stressors that can be big or small, but when we keep them bottled up and don't talk about like what's going on in our life, it can really affect us negatively. So therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, to really talk about what you're going through and figure out a way to work through whatever that is that's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If like you're just not feeling that connected with somebody, you can always try it again. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first order. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Although I'm not there yet myself, I know a lot of you listening have children and want to set up your child for success. So IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Oh my gosh, I wish I would have had IXL when I was going through school because I really needed that extra help just to like get things implemented into my brain so that I could really know what I was learning and not just be like, I don't know, I had a good memory, but I don't think I actually learned something, but that's really through repetition. And I feel like IXL is wonderful for that. I think this is such a wonderful product for anybody who's like just struggling with a topic or just trying to get ahead, study for a test. It really can help in so many ways. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Better Tomorrow with Hannah Brown listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/HannahB. Visit IXL.com/HannahB to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
My husband and I are very involved in the fight against human trafficking.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
And yeah, it's something that has honestly from the carjack situation into Unbreakable, it's just all snowballed. And it's like once you learn one thing, it leads you to learning about another thing and another thing and another thing. And you realize how much evil is in the world. I personally think it's one of the greatest evils that humanity is facing mm-hmm. in this day and age. And something that we learn from a lot of the survivors that we get to work with in a lot of the survivor care programs that we have around the world is nobody believed me. Nobody listened. And, you know, I thought I was just being crazy. The manipulation, the force, there's a couple of things that always take place in human trafficking: force, fraud, incursion. And, you know, it can start with something so small. Human trafficking isn't always just a snatch off the street. It's not just a Liam Neeson taken movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of grooming that takes place in a lot of cases. And I just think that, you know, it's just so sad to think nobody believed me. Mm-hmm. Nobody believed that my uncle would do that. Nobody believed that my own dad would do that, right? Mm-hmm. That's obviously not necessarily human trafficking cases, but abuse cases, mm-hmm. etc. And the thing that I would say, and I write about this in my book, there's one chapter that's really hard, chapter 7, and I was contemplating about, do I tell this story or do I not? Mm-hmm. Do I share about this or not? And my editor and I went back and forth, and I ran this past so many people just asking for wisdom, just seeking wisdom. But I was very convicted to share about this one story about a girl that was abused by her own father for a long time. Pretty much her whole childhood. And her mom obviously must have known she was living in the same household as her. And this went on for years and years, every single night. And one night her mom finally came walking down the stairs, and she was a couple feet away from her bedroom door, and everybody could hear. The mom knew what was going on. The dad must have known what was going on. The daughter knew. And she says, she's coming to get me. She's coming to rescue me. She's finally coming for me. And then everything goes silent. And the mom turns around and she walks back up the stairs and never mm-hmm. comes. And the daughter says, you know, I thought she was coming to rescue me. That day she had a choice to make and she didn't choose me. And it wasn't until she was about 40 years old. This went on her whole child. It wasn't until she was about 40 years old that she actually finally went and sought help and started getting counseling and started seeing a therapist. And I can't imagine just how alone she must have been, you know, throughout her life in that, just feeling like she has to sit in that awful silence all by herself. And anyway, I decided to share that story because at my last Unbreakable workshop that we hosted, we shared a similar story and we had multiple women come up and ask for help. And I decided to share that story in my book, hoping that even if that just helps one girl, one boy, one woman, one daughter, one sister, one mom to find freedom, mm-hmm. then it will be worth it. Totally. It will be worth it. And if you ask for help and nobody comes for you, nobody believes in you, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep searching. Keep asking. Keep looking for organization in your town. Go and find a counselor. Go and find local law enforcement. Go and find a church that mm-hmm. might have a counseling center. So many churches have free counseling that they offer. Don't give up. There are people in this world that care about you. Look right in the camera, that care about you, mm-hmm. that want to be there for you, that want to help you. And I'm so sorry if you haven't found that help yet, but don't give up looking for that help.
Absolutely. Well, I want to kind of go into your book that you mentioned.
Yeah, and you have another one coming out too. I do have another one too. I love that it's right here and you can actually touch it. Somebody asked me yesterday, they're like, so why don't you like, why haven't we like seen a picture of you holding your book? You only like get it like a month or so before it comes out.
So. I just got mine. So of course I have it out here.
I love it.
But I'm so excited for you. This is your first book, correct?
Yes, it is. And I'm just so inspired by you writing like a whole different story, which is so cool.
It's very they're very different, but I know this book is, you know, you write about your life and what you have learned mm-hmm. Through your experiences. And so it's A Crown That Lasts.
Yeah.
It's out in August.
August 13th, yeah.
I just want to know, like, what inspired you to write this book? What made you decide, like, this is how I want to share my story? And, like, what is your hope for mm-hmm. people who read this book? What do you hope they get out of it?
Yeah. I started writing this book a couple of years ago and I stopped because I realized that I've got a good amount of life experiences. Mm-hmm. Some of them I just shared with you. I lost my little sister a couple of years ago. She was born with severe special needs and that was something really hard our family walked through. I moved continents, you know, by the age of 22. Mm-hmm. there's been a lot of life experiences that I'm very grateful to have had, but there's a lot of the purpose behind some of those stories and life experience that I hadn't figured out yet. And mm-hmm. so I realized that I needed to figure out that purpose first. And so I started writing this book. And as I was like reading back over the chapter, I was like, oh man, I needed to hear that today. Like I realized like I actually started writing so much of this book for myself.
Mm, yeah.
And I don't have it figured out. I'm still learning so much. There's so much of, I feel like the book, the story, the chapters that I wrote that I don't necessarily feel sorry. The pollen is like making my nose all cloggy, but
I'm the same way. I just took a Allegra right before this, so I get it.
I'm sorry about sniffles. I'm not sick. I don't feel like I'm totally worthy of sharing all these roadmaps, but I definitely feel called in a big way. Hannah, nobody really prepares you for when you do actually reach your dreams. Mm-hmm. They prepare you to reach your dreams. They tell you how to reach your dreams. You have all these like books and things on like, you know, how to be successful and how to be energetic and how to be healthier. But nobody shares with you like what happens after you've reached your dreams. And that's, I would say, a big part of the premise of A Crown That Lasts. It's obviously referencing my crown that did not last. Mm-hmm. in 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul writes, and he shares with believers like, hey, don't go and chase perishable crowns. As believers, let's chase after things that will last for eternity, that will have an eternal impact. And I feel so silly because literally I was warned 2,000 years ago not to chase a crown that won't last. And here I am doing just that. I remember the night I stood on that stage about to crown the very rightful, the very worthy, the very beautiful, amazing next Miss Universe title holder. And I took that crown off of my head and I placed it on the new girl's head, and she took her first walk as Miss Universe. And I was left standing on that stage, not having a clue what to do next. I didn't even know how to find my dressing room because I had a whole team of people, videographers and photographers and social media managers and managers and the president of the organization, so many people that was supporting me that whole year. And all of a sudden, who was their job for the year, I watched them just literally move to their next purpose, their next job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, where to now? And I know that that might not be super relatable. You got to wear a crown. You got to wear a tiara, but
I felt the same way in The Bachelorette. Like I get it. Yeah. It might not be it's really relatable to me, your
right.
story.
It's not I don't know what that – everyone has some form of a crown, yes. right? I don't know if that's like – maybe you've been a full-time mom for the last mm-hmm. 18 years and all of a sudden your purpose is packing its own lunch and yeah. driving themselves to school. Or, you know, maybe you've worked your whole life to get that corner office and you finally did and it's still not enough. Yeah. Or maybe you've worked so hard to get that degree, get that paycheck, get that car, get that – whatever that is, whatever that crown is for you, those are essentially things that are not going to last, mm-hmm. especially not into eternity. And – that was something that I had to realize because I felt like the moment I left that stage and found my way back to my dressing room and like packed up and like flew back to South Africa, I got on that plane to fly back to South Africa that it was in the morning because it was held in Thailand and it was just the pageant was held really early in the morning mm-hmm. so that it could be aired in the evening in the US. Anyway, side note there. Not important information.
That is interesting though.
It is interesting. Yeah. I woke up at like 2 a.m. to be in full glam by 5 a.m. It was wow. really early. But I got on that plane to go to fly back to my home country. And I realized that I forgot something. I forgot something in Thailand. I left something in Thailand, something mm-hmm. super important, something I really needed. And the thing that I left there on that stage was a big, big, big part of my identity. Mm-hmm. And with that came a really big part of my worth and my value and who I thought I was created to be and what I was created to do. You know, once I won Miss Universe, everyone greeted me as, good morning, Miss Universe, the doorman, the bellman, my bag was tagged as Miss Universe, not Demi. It was Miss Universe. I was introduced as Miss Universe and I became Miss Universe, right? Mm-hmm. And then you give it back and it's a what now? It's a, I don't feel worthy anymore. The thing that people, there's a new Miss Universe, a taller, prettier, more worthy Miss Universe, right? And that's what we tell ourselves. And the thing that made people want me to be around them, the thing that made people want to invite me to their events was now gone. That label was now gone. A label that I actually liked having mm-hmm. was now gone. Anyway, I lost my crown on that stage, but I also lost such a big part of my identity. And it took me years to really realize, instead of searching for that crown, instead of searching for that worth, instead of searching for that value, that next thing, I had to realize that in my creator's eyes, I am the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the worth, and I am the value. And in his eyes, I am royalty with and without a tiara. And it wasn't until that moment that I really got to feel okay with whatever comes next. And I'm not just talking about career-wise, you know, just personally, I'm okay with whatever comes next because I know whose I am. I know who I belong to. And I know that he has a perfect plan and purpose for my life. And I also learned to be okay with running on his timeline and not just my own timeline. Because after that season, I moved back to New York and Tim and I got engaged shortly after, but it was such a big transformation season. And I felt stuck in like a wasted season. Mm. It was like that mess in the middle, like just feels like you're never going to get out of this, have no idea what to do next. And it just felt like such a wasted season. But it was in that wasted season that I felt like I was being pruned and nurtured and being set up for a winning season.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would say that's a little bit of what the book is about.
I really relate to that. And I love that you're putting your story out there, because I think a lot, like you said, there, it might not be an actual physical crown, but there are a lot of things that we think in life are going to be the thing that makes us feel fulfilled or worthy. But all things here on mm-hmm. This earth are temporary,
yeah,
and can be taken away. Mm-hmm. And I have been in the same place where I'm like, oh gosh, like I really had wrapped mm-hmm. myself around what people said that I was,
yeah.
What value I brought, instead of actually knowing that like those things are not what make me actually valuable mm-hmm. and in the eyes of God. And so I've also been, I feel like I'm on the upwards journey of getting out of that pruning mm-hmm. season for myself. And it is hard.
Americans take about 20,000 breaths a day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants, so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. So I love my Air Doctor air purifier. I am a big proponent of an air purifier because I have had all different things from just the living environment that I'm being in, having mold, and sometimes not knowing it, to also just like having everyday allergies. An air purifier is so important, and I love the Air Doctor one. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HANNAHB, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock the special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HANNAHB. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves, but sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure, and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com.
What helped get you through it? And for anybody who's also kind of in that like really hard, messy season where you've kind of have realized that these things didn't bring you the eternal joy or full fulfillment, but it's still in that like waiting period.
Yeah.
What do you have for them? And maybe it's this book.
Yeah. I think a big part of that is in this book. I ended up writing the book myself, which was, I didn't think I was going to do.
Wait, that's amazing.
It was so fun. Yeah. I have always loved writing and journaling. And I was like, well, that's very different. Mm-hmm. than writing a whole book.
It's very different. Yeah.
But once I started writing, I was like, let me just try. Let me just try. And I had amazing editors. I had like a coach that came alongside me to just be able to be a sounding board. But it was such a fun, fulfilling, very therapeutic process. Like mm-hmm. I told you, I felt like I wrote the book for myself.
Yes.
So, you know, I write about my roadmap on how I experience that, you know, how you can, I even feel like preventing getting yourself so deeply into that messy middle season. I think the hardest thing, Hannah, for me to have gotten out of that season was I didn't have a community of people. Mm-hmm. And there's a Greek word, 12 or 4, I don't know, long time ago Greek word, that is, it's pronounced alalone, alalone. And it's pretty funny because once you realize what the meaning of it is, it stands for one another. It means one another. And 50 times in the New Testament, we're instructed to live in that way, to live all alone, to live one another. And that was something that I didn't have in this messy season. I moved continents. Everyone I knew, my family, my friends, my parents, everyone was back in South Africa. Tim and I were in a long distance relationship. We didn't get to see each other a lot. And I was stuck like in a big city, really all by myself. I had like one friend who was Sarah mm-hmm. at that time. And she was busy and had all her things that she was doing too. I lost my sister in that time. So it was just like a mess. It just felt like a mess. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it wasn't until I started really getting a good community around me, a good group of friends that would point me back to the truth every single time, where I was really able to kind of submerge out of that messy middle. That was something that really helped me. Finding a church community that I felt really at home with was super important, was really instrumental. And I would say something else that was really helpful in that moment to get out of that was just to say, like, I'm just going to be willing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to be willing to surrender. I'm going to be willing to put the kingdom over myself. I'm going to be willing to say yes to your timeline. I'm going to be willing to be patient. I'm going to be willing to learn. And what I did was like, I was like, I'm going to have to be okay with really starting over too. And you're going to have to be okay.
Hard with, it's very hard. When you have been put on this pedestal. I feel this too, like put on this pedestal, like literally your Miss Universe.
Yeah.
To then be like, I'm giving all that up to go on your assignment.
Yeah.
And that might put me in a, you have to really let go of the ego and just really surrender that. It's really tough to
do. And, you know, my confidence was so shattered. There was no confidence whatsoever. I mean, like, Hannah, I literally made up a fake Gmail email address and, like, pretended to be my own assistant because I couldn't – I was just working so hard to just afford my apartment. I was, you know, I couldn't afford like a team or people or, and I would like, people would ask me, so what's next? Or they would invite me to go on their podcast. Yeah. And I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't want to come on your podcast and tell you, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, that's embarrassing. Yeah. You feel like, it feels like you failed. It, you know, you were like literally here and now you're just don't even know where you are.
Yeah.
So, It was taking me to be okay with that for a minute and just getting small wins, really small wins, like going on that small podcast for the first time and just being a little bit more honest, getting that maybe like one partnership that's actually really meaningful, making that one friend that's actually really loyal and you get to build a great relationship with, just really celebrating the small wins, because in the end, I feel like, yes, I did have a very big, very public win in my life as Miss Universe, but real life isn't just a big win. Mm-hmm. I think real life is really made up of a bunch of small wins that end up accumulating to be the big things in life, that accumulate to being the big wins in life.
I totally agree. And I thank you for sharing that, because some people could look at you and think, oh, everything's perfect. This thing happened, like dominoes just fall into place. And it's like, no, it's actually sometimes those moments of having the big win, the aftermath of that can really be hard to find your footing without that label. Mm-hmm. And when every label is stripped off, it's like, how do I just be Demi?
Yeah.
And I really just appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of people can relate to you as Demi just taking those steps to find your own footing and be grounded in where the next step's going to be and taking that. I could talk to you. Like, there's so many things I want to
– I love this.
I could talk for forever. But thank you so much for coming today. I'm so excited about your book. Can you just tell everyone where they can find your book and anything else you have going on?
You're so sweet. Thank you, Hannah. Yeah, I mean, they can, like, go look on social media. There's links. There's all the things. It's being sold.
Pre-order now.
Be on shelves August 13th, and then you can pre-order on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target, all the places. So yeah,
it's just such a big accomplishment, and I'm so excited to see how Lord's going
coming
to
from
this.
A New York Times bestselling author.
No, but it's a really hard thing to do, and especially like just hearing your process of starting this a few years ago and having probably the obedience to table that so that the Lord could like work in your life to really get his message across through your story. That's really inspiring. And people are really going to, I know people are really going to grow from this, be challenged, but also like find peace in what their actual true identity and where that comes from. So I'm really
so sweet. Thank you, Hannah.
I'm super so pumped for what this is going to do in your life and for a lot of others. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format,
you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.